While Georgia may be comparatively better for African-American business owners, that doesn't mean it's easy. A recent Prosperity Now study finds black businesses face pretty big hurdles in the South. White-owned businesses average over $500,000 in revenue every year. Black businesses average just a tenth of that. Joining me now is Dennis Kimbrough, professor of business at Clark Atlanta University. Hello there.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
So let's start with what you think of this particular study and whether or not you find it credible that black-owned businesses would be making just a tenth of the profit of a comparable white-owned business.
Well, number one, I would like to applaud the authors for bringing this to light. But you know what? They're really not saying anything new. I was just listening to the survey, the comments before. And when you look at the South, it's really bifurcated. There are some areas of the South that are really struggling for entrepreneurs, and there's some that are really flourishing. Atlanta happens to be one that's flourishing, and it's flourishing for a reason. There are, you know, common attributes when you look at success and successful black businesses. Number one, do they have access to capital? Number two, do they have the contacts? And number three, what about the contracts? The best customer in the world is a repeat customer, and that will certainly put any entrepreneur, whether black, white, green, whatever, on the fast track.
Let's go with that first one, access to capital, because let's play this comment from Ron Busby. He's the president of Black Chambers. He's speaking here with Roland Martin on News One Now, and he's pointing to exactly that as possibly a reason why black-owned businesses struggle more.
If you ask any small business owner what their number one concern is, they will say access to credit. But when you ask black businesses, their top three concerns is access to credit. And it has very little to do with our acumen. It has very little to do with our businesses. It really is a conversation about banks not wanting to take the risk to be able to provide those loans to business owners in our communities.
How much of a barrier is access to credit or liability, trying to convince a bank for black-owned businesses?
Well, I tell my students at Clark Atlanta University, the first step to entrepreneurship is savings. The reason why, if you can't save 10% of everything that you earn, the seeds of greatness aren't in you, because that's when opportunity really occurs. And if you don't have the savings, I mean, you are thrown on the cusp of either looking at the SBA for a loan or going to
the
commercial.
Small Business Association.
Yeah, going to commercial credit. Financial literacy is the key. And I can sit here and tell you all the indices and indicators or the lack thereof of financial literacy in the black community. 27% of African Americans have no savings plan. More than 30% spend more on a weekly basis than what they bring in. And more than 40% of African Americans are non-banked or unbanked. Well, that's going to spill over into you pursuing an opportunity. If you don't have the funds to go ahead and capitalize that, regardless if it's a high hurdles, low hurdle, or whatever, you won't be able to participate in that market. So, you know, things happen for a reason. I shared in another conversation that I had in 1934, Federal Housing Authority came up with that idea of redlining, where they took a red pen and they drew it around certain areas within metro areas. Well, redlining has legs, and it occurred in 1934, and here we are in 2017. You are seeing the end result of years of discrimination in terms of economic development.
I just want to make sure our listeners are all staying with us. Redlining is a process in which someone is refused either a bank loan or insurance, mm-hmm. even, because they live in a particular area that's either deemed to be majority minority or it's deemed to be poor. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, they're charged there. Even if you do get a loan, if you're redlined, you charge more.
Charge more in interest. Without a doubt. In terms of suppressing
economic development. And your insurance premiums will be higher.
Exactly. So, you know, that certainly has an effect. But that doesn't mean that, you know, opportunity is insurmountable. What's going on here in Atlanta in terms of contacts? I, several years ago, completed a 7-year study on black millionaires. Atlanta is either number 3 or 4 in terms of black millionaires. So new entrepreneurs or potential entrepreneurs, they can see what's possible. And they have the contacts where they can reach out and seek mentorship and seek advisors, which is another key component. A lot of times, money is not just the answer. You need somebody to advise you and somebody to mentor you. Okay, what's the next step in the process? What do I do now? And then last but not least, contracts. You know, my mind goes back to the early 1980s when Maynard Jackson was mayor of Atlanta and he rebuilt, Atlanta Airport. And he said we were going to use minority representation. Well, the bottom line, he created 14 black millionaires in the process of rebuilding that airport.
So let's hear one more comment. This is Connie Evans. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Dennis Kimbrough. He's a professor of business at Clark Atlanta University, and we're talking about a new study that shows black businesses actually bring in about a tenth of the revenue that a similar white business does. So this is Connie Evans that we're hearing here. She's with the Association for Enterprise Opportunity, and she points out another problem with minority-owned business.
It's not only the wealth gap, the starting wealth gap, the capital gap, but we also recognize a third important gap, which is the trust gap. But we found that the interplay of those three gaps is really what's keeping businesses from being able to reach their potential.
What is the trust gap?
The trust gap is if you can't find, mentors, or if you can't find advisors that look like you, talk like you, think like you, whatever, then you're forced to go to different areas. Imagine I'm reading this study now where you have low-income black entrepreneurs seeking out somebody, that's in their particular industry that they're in. They don't know anything about this individual. And the individual, if I walked into your office right now and I said, I'm going to be your competitor in this line, can you share with me the pitfalls and how you overcame them? The trust gap is going to be pretty low. So you're going to need what we call executive presence. And what is executive presence? You're going to need somebody to skill you. You're going to need the soft skills. You're going to need the norms and mores of how to compete effectively in a capitalistic economy long before anybody can trust you.
Okay, so if we're talking about a capital gap, and that's one of the reasons I assume why it's generational, because I can think of three friends right now who were able to start their business because their parents gave them money, a loan.
Exactly.
Zero interest loan in that particular case. So there's the capital gap.
And usually that occurs 25 to 30% for white entrepreneurs.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So, and that's not happening very often.
Not
generational wealth.
Only 42% of African Americans even own their own home.
Okay, so
there's no equity there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the access to capital. Mm-hmm. In terms of either loans and insurance. Mm-hmm. And then what you're calling is the trust gap. So what's our most powerful lever that we can throw to fix some of this?
I hate to be simplistic in it, but what I have found is that nothing can stop the passionate, committed mind. What is the definition of entrepreneurship? And we need to know this before we go in. Entrepreneurship is the pursuit of an opportunity without any regard to the resources at hand. So what you are saying is that I don't have the money, I don't have the capital, I don't have the contacts, but this opportunity I'm going to pursue. There is something to be said about the passionate, committed mind. And I tell my students a lot of times, the passionate, committed mind can't be defeated. If it could be defeated, there would be no Bob Johnson of BET. There would be no Oprah Winfrey. So that's number one. Number two, you can't GET to your ASK. And the more that I tell my students, if you don't study, if you don't grow, if you don't develop, if you don't go to the seminars, if you don't go to the conferences, if you don't ask the key questions, somebody out in the universe will. And the day that you meet that other individual, you're going to lose. That's a part of the process. And then last but not least, people tell to me, Dr. Kimbrough, entrepreneurship is like a roller coaster. It's highs and lows and ups and downs and, days in which I don't eat. And when does a roller coaster ride end? And I said, when you get off it. Entrepreneurship is gut-wrenching. Entrepreneurship is pain-inducing. Entrepreneurship is a marathon, not a sprint. It's built on inconvenience. But the good news is it's better than failing. If this is your chosen line of work, sooner or later, if you got the sticktivity, you're going to meet the contacts, the money will be there, and you'll be able to make a difference.
the stick-tivity. That's a technical
persistence.
Term. We only have about a minute left, but how much of this is also on Black consumers and whether they choose to support Black businesses or not?
That has a lot to do with it. You know, there are about 177 countries that belong to the United Nations. In terms of wealth, Black America's number 16. You know, our buying power is estimated to be $1.3 trillion of the $17 trillion U.S. market. But when you look at where we spend our money, less than a nickel of every dollar is spent in the Black community. No other ethnic group does that. I mean, if you look at the Asian community, the average dollar stays in the Asian community for 24 days. If you look at the Jewish community, the average dollar stays in the Jewish community 19 days. The average dollar only stays in the Black community 6 hours. So no other group does that. Our most prolific scholar, Black America's most prolific scholar, W.B. Du Bois, wrote a book in 1897 called The Negro in Business. And he had two profound, you know, sentences in that book. Number one, okay, if the man or woman who won't control their finances won't control anything else. And number two, nothing positive will ever occur in a community that fails to circulate its dollars.
That's Dennis Kimbrough. He's a professor of business at Clark Atlanta University. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.